Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ our Lord. Today on Thanksgiving, we have a wide range of people of ages here, right? I have people in grade school, high school, some people maybe in college, some people just finishing college. And then there's people who it's been a while since you've been in school, a few years, maybe a few decades. Asking this more to you, but those of you in high school and college can think about this too, but what subjects do you wish you would have learned more about when you were in school? Was it, and of course, unless you're a scientist, maybe you wish you learned a little bit more about this, but did you wish you learned more about chemistry when you were in school? Or physics? Or persuasive writing? You can think of all the subjects, but what do you wish you learned more about? What I've heard a lot, I see a lot of memes about, is people talk about how they wish they would have learned how to do their taxes, how they wish they would have learned how to invest and how to use their money wisely. I actually found this on a shelf in our house. It's from Martin Luther College. So I went there, but I didn't get this. This is actually my wife's. It says, Life After School Explained. And in there, it has all sorts of things. You can shuffle through it. It has all sorts of things about leases and insurances and investing and credit cards and the fees on credit cards and understanding money in a bigger way. I didn't get one of those. I was going on to more school, so I think they said, oh, you'll learn more about this. But isn't it true that you maybe wish you would have learned more of that? And to understand the good of money, the good of using it wisely. A lot of what we're going to talk about today is the good of giving thanks, the good of how we use what we have and how we can thank God for those things. But the question to consider is, do those things come naturally? Does the wisdom of investing, of using your money wisely, do you just know how to do that? Or do you need to be taught? Does it need to be explained to you? Does it need to be encouraged? When you look at what Paul is doing with the Philippians, he's really encouraging them. Look at what he says. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but had no opportunity to show it. They were talking about this giving for a long time. Then later he says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. These Philippians were giving, and Paul isn't encouraging it. And he talks about many other churches that didn't know how to give. They didn't understand giving. Maybe they didn't have the opportunity, but they weren't giving. When we talk about giving and really not just giving, but using the things that God has given you, we talk about stewardship. Is good stewardship something you know naturally? Of course not. So we have to understand that good stewardship is taught and encouraged. Because by nature, what do? With the things that we have, the things that we've been giving, our talents, our gifts, our house, our home, our money, where do we focus that on? Ourselves. We focus it on what I need most, and not just only do we not focus on God and to the people around us, we fail to really give and help people naturally because we're selfish by nature. I heard this statistic while I was doing research for the sermon, and it said in the last 20 years or so, we've grown in population in the United States by over 26 million people, near 30 million people. In that time, then do you think that the amount of people who give to charity then has grown? If we've grown by 26 million people, then well, of course we've grown, the number of people who give and give to church and charity has grown by, well, 10 million or at least 5 million. But in fact, even though we're growing in size, less people are giving. And the statistic said, you know, some of the poorest, they maybe give about 3% of what they have to charity. And the rich, they maybe give 1%. But do you know what they were all under in giving? They all gave less than what people gave during the Great Depression. That during the Great Depression, even though people were suffering in very hard times, they gave. They gave out of what they didn't have, but they still gave. It's something that we need to be taught and understand. This is something we do. To think about you and your giving and your thanks to God, where did you learn to be thankful? Where did you learn how to use your money? Where did you learn how to give back to others or to be wise with what you have? Maybe you're saying, I'm still learning. That's what a lot of people are. Even if you're older, you're still saying, I'm still learning. But maybe in your household, it was something that was taught and encouraged. Maybe it still is. And so when you got out into the world, it was very easy. It was something that was discussed. But the truth is, I bet there's many people that they're still struggling to find peace with finances, to use their gifts, their time in the right way. That's to encourage you. If you're saying, oh, I struggle with this, you're not alone in this. I think it's more rare for people to be satisfied with their good stewardship. To understand how this is a struggle, we see why what needs to be encouraged is when Paul is writing to the Philippians, he says these things. He says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Why is Paul being thankful right now? He's been given more than he needs, but he says it's not about that. He says that he'd still be content even if he didn't have these gifts, even if he didn't have all of this. Well, why? Because he says contentment comes from God. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. This is the updated translation of where it used to say, I can do all things through God who gives me strength. Really, it's talking about not all things, but really being content. That only through God can we be content and say, when I don't have a lot, I can still be thankful. When I have a lot, I can not want more. Contentment is a hard thing for us because we either don't think we have enough, or when we have more, we want more and more and more. I can be upset. I don't have things. Or even when I have a lot, it's not enough. We struggle with that. We struggle with giving thanks for what God has given me, as Moses talks to those Israelites and saying, even what you have, even your ability to earn and have wealth comes from God. So to understand, we can be content with what we have because they're all blessings. I think one thing to think about why we struggle with contentment is a lot of the older generation, I'll even include me a little bit in that, but our original phones were something like this, right? Something you could fit like this big, and they maybe had a little screen. I couldn't find my old flip phone, but some people call them like dumb phones, stupid phones, right? Some people maybe still have them, and they love their little phones. Now, when you were, think of us as when we were first getting our phones. I remember getting my first phone in high school. Were your parents really concerned about giving this to you? Were they worried about, oh, if I give them this phone, they're going to get into this trouble or this or this or this? No, it actually brought safety. It helped you communicate with your parents. Now think about in today's world. How many of you parents want to give your kids one of these? You want to give them it in grades, in middle school, in high school? Do you have good concern about what comes from this? You didn't really have to, when I was a teenager, my parents didn't have to teach me how to use my phone or to teach me all the dangers of what this phone could do, the social media and all the things that come from the internet that you can do on your phone now. But today, do you need to teach how to use a phone correctly? What to do, what to say? You do. And I think that's a good picture of why contentment is hard today, opposed to maybe back years ago. And we can always say, oh, it was simpler then. I think it was in some ways. We are so wealthy today. We have so much stuff. And so to be content with what I have, it's hard. It can do great things, just like the phones today. It can do amazing things. You can get around, you can order, you can do all the things you need to do. But it's also dangerous or hard to use in the right way. And that's what it is with all the stuff we have. It's hard to be content with what we have. So what's the solution? What's the answer then of being content? Notice as Paul is thanking the Philippians because they have shown their thanks. They've shown that they can give to God and to give to Paul in support of the ministry. And so Paul says this at the end of this section. He says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. What is Paul telling them? That even though they have given and maybe it hurt to give, God will supply all their needs. God supplies all we need in Jesus. Should we say that again? God will supply all your needs in Jesus, because is that something that's sometimes hard to believe? Do you believe that you have all that you need? Are there times that you're saying, oh, I really need this thing? Well, God, if you would give this, that would be a lot better. God tells us we have all we need in Jesus, but I think we can struggle with that. I think we can struggle with that contentment. Can struggle with understanding what God has given us because we're also not focused on the spiritual. That God has given us everything we need in Jesus. Paul writes also in the book of Romans, he said, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how he will not also along with him graciously give us all things. You have something through Jesus that nothing can buy, that you can't earn, you can't work days and weeks and a whole career to get. You can't put it on a plaque, you can't earn it, you can't barter for it, you can't trade for it. It's the forgiveness of sins. It's something that, as we said last Sunday, when we read the meaning of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, we've been redeemed, not with gold or silver, but with his innocent, precious blood, his innocent death. This is something you cannot get on your own, and it has to be given, and it's a gift, it's grace, it's forgiveness. That mercy and peace that you have through Christ. How rich is that? It's immeasurably valuable. A peace and forgiveness in your life that though you sin, though you fall short, though you doubt, though you fear, though you struggle with money, though you struggle with fears and worries of the past, the future, the present, you're forgiven. You have a peace and a mercy and forgiveness that nothing can take away. That God so loved you to do this. And then to give you eternity. That all the things that we have can fade away. That they could be taken away in an instant. They could be lost, but your soul is eternal. Your soul is what Christ has won and redeemed and means that you will live forever, as our whole theme has been talking about. And so we could be thankful because we do live forever. One of my favorite pictures of this is from one of the pastors I listen to a lot, Pastor Novotny, who is on the Time of Grace. He talked about how they were in a meeting with Time of Grace talking about their new book and their plans, and then they said, what happens if this book doesn't sell well, or if people stop giving, and if someone gets sick? And he said, so we'd be left with God? Would that be such a bad thing? To understand that, are we satisfied with God? Are we satisfied with Jesus and all that He gives us? And sometimes it's hard. But to know that He is enough, that He is good, He has blessed you and forgiven you and given you a peace and forgiveness that so many people in the world are striving and looking for. So what does that do for us in our life? We're talking about the good of giving and the good of giving thanks. And Paul is thanking the Philippians and saying, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your outpouring. Thank you for your kindness. How can we be thankful? I think truly thankfulness flows from that contentment and stewardship. Because if I'm not content, If I'm not happy with what God has given me, am I going to have a heart that gives? And if I don't understand stewardship, good stewardship, that everything I have, whose is it? It's God. Everything you have, your family, as you go home today and have your Thanksgiving meal, your cars, your house, the food you eat, the family, the friends, all of these things are God's. They're on loan to you, and they're for you to use to bless God and to bless others. God has given them as a blessing to you. They're not ours, and the problem is if we hold on to them as being ours, what do? We're holding on to everything like this and so fearful if we lose it. But if I understand that this is not mine, but God's, I can be generous with it. I like this example of explaining stewardship. Stewardship is a picture of being a manager. If you ever watch The Office, I know I'm starting to age myself because now The Office is getting old. But if you're a manager of God's gifts, of your talents, your gifts, your money, your house and home, what does that make you? It makes you Michael Scott, right? The regional manager. And if you're training and teaching and encouraging your children, what are you building up? Little Dwight Schrute, the assistant to the regional manager. You are developing managers of what God has given you. But to think about this in thanksgiving and good stewardship and being content, is it hard to give? I think at times it is hard to give. But how does it become an easy thing? They just started basketball over at school. And when you first start shooting for practice, Are you tired? Your arm tired? And if you haven't been running, if you played basketball, right, you run lines, you run back and forth. And the first few practices, you're just exhausted. But that's meant to get you so then in a game, you're not so tired. And then after a few weeks, you can do those runs and it's easy. Right now, if I were asked to do a shuttle, would I want to do that if I line? What would I be afraid of? I'm not in shape, so what would happen? I run, I'm going to pull my hammy, right? Is that what happens in our life of giving when we don't practice giving? That something simple becomes something fearful because I don't do it. But when I give thanks to God, that can happen easier because when you do it all the time, it's just a natural thing. And so you can do that here. You can do that in giving to others in need. A way we're talking more about in the future is just that direct deposit of saying, when I get money from God, then I can give in a generous way. Or giving today to help those in need in our community, in our offering. But an important thing to understand as we talk about this, it all flows from contentment and stewardship, understanding God and His mercy. Understanding my contentment that I have all things in God. It's not about just consistent and being comfortable in giving. I also have to be comfortable with God. The encouragement then is also to grow in the Word. To be in the Word consistently because that is what helps us being thankful. To understand who God is and what He's given me. To understand my place and understand that I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear the future. I don't have to fear the past. I don't have to fear my past mistakes. That God gives me a true contentment in Christ. And so as you grow and you ask, how can I give thanks. Know and grow in your knowledge of your Lord and Savior and all that He has given for you. He gave everything for you. He loves you so much to die for you, to forgive you of your sins, that we have all that we can give back. Not out of a demand, not of anything to earn, but out of good. The good of giving thanks to our God who loves us and has forgiven us and has given us all that we need. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.